Hi, and welcome to
Go Life Sunday.
This week we have Alice, Will and Matt leading us in
worship,
and a catch up with Chris and Liz in
Spain,
and Ruth Rice will be sharing from the Book of Acts. Let's get ready to worship God together this morning.
Welcome to Welton Baptist Church Go Life Sunday. I want to kick off by saying something I believe is important for us right now as a local church family, really something of a prayerful reminder. And so if you're not part of the Welton church family, please just forgive me the next 30 seconds. It's pretty straightforward. It's this: we're one church following Jesus in many different ways. Now, some of those are new, exciting, some of them are quite releasing for us. Some are more challenging, even uncomfortable perhaps for some of us. But we're following Jesus as one. So we're not becoming four churches who meet in four different places. Yet we are meeting in four different locations every other week. But we're one church. We're not becoming two churches, one that meets online and one that meets in person. Yeah, some are meeting online, some are in person. But we're one church. And here's the really cool thing. What we're learning in these different places and ways of meeting and being God's people, we're going to get to bring it all back together. And so we're not going to go back to where we were. We'll be further ahead. And that's always what happens when we follow Jesus. And so we can say confidently that we're not treading water. We're going to be fitter and stronger, more able to be a disciple-making church, a church that plants churches and reaches the world. I've got no doubt that when we come back together, we will be different, but it would be the right kind of different. The things that God has been doing as we've met in different places and in different ways, they will shape us for the next stage of our church life. One example from many is testimony. I think one of the most profound things that gives glory to God, and I can see God growing this amongst us, this often untapped power of real life stories in us. There's lots of other things that God is doing and he's going to do. Let me encourage you, lots of church life right now feels different. And whether you feel energized by it or you feel that you're just holding on by the skin of your teeth, we're one church body with Jesus at the head and he knows what he's doing. Speaking of being one church family, part of Welton that we love is over in Spain, and that's Chris, Liz, Sam and Leo. So here's a quick hello from our good friends in Spain.
Hi Welton, greetings for the whites in Spain. Here we are back getting settled into this term. The kids have managed to stay in school so far, so that's good, and they're settling in well. It was a bit of a rocky start with Leo, but they're getting more settled now, so we appreciate your continued prayers for us as a family as we work through these strange times.
We've been meeting out regularly with families to connect with them and just to try and disciple them. We had been meeting on weekends to have a picnic all together, but recently, the same as you guys, we're now down to no more than six in gatherings, so from this weekend onwards we're going to have to change what we do. But we're still trying to meet up with individuals where we can, be in contact with people through messaging. And we're doing a lot more praying as well. We're prayer walking our town and just waiting on God, really. He knows what we can do, what we can't do. We're just trying to be available to him, be present with our friends and neighbours and just trust him. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. We really value it.
Bye. Bye.
I really believe that God wants us to encounter him. That means not just us watching and listening today, but us expecting God to meet with us in ways that are tangible, that we can actually process with our minds, that do something to our hearts. And we get to talk about these things as living realities. If we really encounter God, the likelihood is we'll be talking about it tomorrow. And that's my expectation. Why? Because that's what God has been doing for 2,000 years in every corner of the earth. From that first bunch of Jesus followers who met in the upper room, who went from fearful to hopeful in that one encounter, through to believers today, who even when they're imprisoned and persecuted, they choose to worship and to listen to Jesus through his words in the Bible. We're going to do that right now, something that has outlasted every government, every culture, every economic system, and every superpower. Hebrews 13 says this: Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And it goes on to say this: Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever.
Hi, Welton Baptist Church. It's great to be with you today. I'm Ruth Rice. I'm the Director of Renew Wellbeing. I've actually been to visit your building a couple of times, and we've been in conversations about maybe you setting up a quiet shared space where it's okay not to be okay where you are. Since we started 5 years ago here in Nottingham with one space where people could come and make themselves at home and bring a hobby, share a hobby, join in rhythms of prayer, where we partner with mental health services, we've now seen 50 centres opening, and before lockdown we had 50 centres open. And of course lockdown meant that every cafe shut. But weirdly, and we've put the stuff online, the training for churches. We've encouraged churches to think about prayerful habits as the main thing that we do now, and about offering these peaceful spaces to people who really need them. And I think we're working with about 150 churches now. So we're praying for a harvest of at least 100 spaces by Christmas, where people can come and get some help if they're feeling isolated, even if those spaces are virtual rather than real, even if they're Zoom rooms rather than real spaces. So thank you for supporting and praying with us. I'd like to speak to you a little bit about kingdom culture this morning. So let's just pray before we start. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your peace that is beyond understanding. Thank you that you crown us as those who bring kingdom, that each day we are crowned with love and compassion, and we can be the bringers of compassion to those around us. Teach us, Lord, today about kingdom culture, King of Kings, we pray. Amen. So Dave's asked me to speak a little bit from Acts chapter 17. So let's read a bit of that together, shall we? Acts 17 and verse 22. You've got Paul on his travels, finds himself at the Areopagus. This is a place in Athens where people come to discuss ideas, and it's almost like they become so engaged with all the ideas and philosophies and gods, and they were like, you know, meeting themselves, coming back, talking about stuff that they believed in rather than actually doing it. And here he finds himself addressing them at the Areopagus. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious," because he's been walking around seeing all these other gods. "For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with the inscription 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him." It's great, isn't it? "Yet he is actually not far from each one of us." And then he says, "For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your poets have said, we are indeed his offspring. Being then God's offspring, we mustn't think that his divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by art or imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked him, but others said, 'We want to hear you again about this.'" So here you've got Paul addressing people who are spiritual seekers. Well, they're looking for meaning and purpose. They're looking for reasons to be on the planet. They're looking for what life is all about. They're looking for gods to worship. They're looking for something that is bigger than themselves. I would say pretty much, I know we're not in the Areopagus, and I know we're not in Athens, and I know we're 2,000 years later, but we're living in a society where people are still looking for those things. They're looking for something to believe in. They're looking for something bigger than themselves. And if they'd stopped looking for that, I think they are again now. I think this global pandemic that we find ourselves in has caused people to ask bigger questions, even if they're doing it in the quietness of their own homes. The things that we had thought were certain, that we had made gods out of, are just so much straw and rubble. I think people are realising that anything can disappear, and people need some certainties, and there's very few certainties around. And so, learning from Paul here, we just want to take a few moments to look at what does he do to address people who are asking big questions but are not necessarily asking him what he believes. They don't necessarily want to know about Jesus. They want to explore loads of different avenues. How does he bring the gospel into that arena? What sort of language is he using? Well, I love that he's had a good wander around first. He hasn't just ploughed in there with his little patter about how he's going to tell people about what he believes. He's worked out where he is. He's had a look round. He's seen these altars to other gods. He's spent time probably listening to people. I know in our charity, when we're talking about mental and emotional health, it's very easy sometimes for us to think, right, well, Jesus is the answer and you just need to come to Jesus and he'll be the answer. In my own story, I had a breakdown and I was a Christian. I already had Jesus. And Jesus is still the answer. It's absolutely right. But what does that look like in terms of our well-being habits? So when we say to people, well, I pray and it all gets better, is that honest? Is that authentic? If we can't tell our own honest story with vulnerability about our own journey, then it's not going to hold any water with people who are looking for something that actually works. I know that here for Paul, when he's addressing the Areopagus, they want to just talk about stuff, you know, they want to talk about ideas. And so many people just want to do that, don't they? Very happy for you to express an idea, as long as it doesn't sort of challenge them in any way. I found when I wasn't well with my mental and emotional health that it challenged everything that I believed. And I found that God was still there. At the heart of it, the gospel was so beautiful. That moment when I felt God say to me, Ruth, I couldn't love you anymore. I'll never love you any less. And I was doing nothing because I could do nothing. I realised that the gospel was really the most beautiful hope-bringing bit of news we've got. And I was kind of reborn. And it made me listen to other people's stories in a different way, looking for what they were finding hope in, learning from other people about what well-being looks like for them. In fact, for me, this whole language of mental and emotional health and well-being is a really good language to connect with other people because we've all got it. So Paul has found a language around gods and altars to gods and about beliefs and about ideologies, because that's what the people in the Areopagus were talking about. I think in our culture, people are looking for what does well-being look like. There's a lot of talk about well-being and about well-being habits and, you know, lots of clubs that you can join and apps you can download to help with your meditation and well-being. And we are followers of the way. We are followers of the one who invented well-being. He put us in the garden and he gave us all that we needed. And he came and he rescued us when we made a mess of all that. And he brought us into relationship, connection with him again. And so well-being, even though we don't all live in it, this is this shalom thing, that this Hebrew word that we translate peace, which is well-being. We as God's people do have some stuff to say about this. And yet, I think we just still need to listen first to what are the questions people are asking. What's really going on in people's lives? What's the cry underneath it all? I really believe that probably the best thing that happened to me was getting unwell, because it made me aware of a language out there of people who were really struggling. 1 in 4 people with mental and emotional health issues before a global pandemic. And they weren't really looking in the church for answers, because we were too busy going round and round the same old stories, telling each other the things we already knew, when there's a world out there that just longs to know what we mean by practicing the presence of God, what we mean by prayer helps, what we mean by God is always with us. And so it began this adventure for me that's resulted in renewed well-being and these simple spaces where we can share our habits, even our prayer habits, and say to people, this is what we mean, this is what it looks like. So firstly, we're listening to the culture around us. Secondly, we're finding a language that is shared. For me, it's the language of well-being. For Paul here, it's definitely the language of sort of ideologies and gods. But then thirdly, and he does this beautiful thing. He kind of draws them into what he begins to name for them what it is that they have been looking for and calling all sorts of other things. So he draws on their own sort of gods and their other gods to bring Jesus into the conversation. He draws on what they're searching for to say, I know what you're searching for and I can name him. He's here. So at the end of verse 26 there, he talks about this unknown God because he's found an altar to an unknown God. And he just picks up on that. He's just found a thing, a way in, a way to say, I think this is what you're looking for. It says in verse 26, he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God. So he's not saying, come on, you've missed it, you've missed the truth. He's saying, that is what you're looking for. You're looking for God. And then he says, beautifully, and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is not actually far from each one of us. How lovely is that? He's not saying, you're miles away, guys. You're barking up the wrong tree. He's saying, in putting this altar to this unknown God, rather than me being offended by it, I'm just going to name the God that you're looking for and tell you, he's not that far away. When I'm sitting chatting with people who are telling me about their mental and emotional health journeys and the things that they've tried to do to find their way out of it, I'm in awe of the sort of, I don't know, the stickability of the human spirit. And instead of saying, well, you're never going to manage that on your own, mate, you really need Jesus, I will say, wow, that's amazing that you have got yourself to this point where you've been able to carry on, where you've got out of bed today, where you're still going, well done. And then I'll say, do you know, I find it really helpful when I'm at the end of myself just to sit quietly and get my cup and meditate on the psalm and just seek God and know that he holds me. That's my image of God holding me, his hands around the cup being my life. And I love sharing that with people because it doesn't seem weird when they've shared with you what they're doing and you've honoured that. You've said, thank you, that's a really good idea, I'll try that. Here's what I do. And kind of normalise the practice of seeking God because he isn't very far from us and he is wanting people to seek him. And when people seek him, they will find him. We've found person after person coming to faith in our prayer rooms just because we've made it simple enough and we've honoured their journey and said thank you for sharing with us the path you're on. But then what I really love that he does here is he quotes, in him we live and move and have our being, which we say, oh yeah, we know that. Do you know that is a quote about Zeus? That he takes a quote from their own poetry about a different God and he makes it about Jesus. He makes it about God. Now, some might find that a bit offensive and go, no, we must start with the biblical language and teach them the scriptures. He starts with their language. He starts with what they know. He starts with the language they are using. You know, we've been talking with people who do sort of yoga and breathing exercises and some people have gone, oh, you know, that's a bit new age. You go, no, that is where people are at. They are breathing in something, but they don't know who it is they're looking for. And we can name and say, do you know what? God is all around us. He's in the very air we breathe. Yeah, I'm going to breathe in, breathe out, but I'm going to breathe in the truth of who he is and breathe out the stuff I don't need there. And so using the language of well-being that's around us, we introduce the God who is already there. I kind of love how Paul in this passage, in this meeting with these guys at the Areopagus, honours their journey and their language and involves himself in it and brings the gospel to bear on it. See, that's where God is inviting us right now, to leave behind the language of Zion and the kind of in-house chat of the church and say, listen to what people are saying, the fear that's out there, the lack of hope when people are losing jobs, and then listen to the beautiful gospel of peace and then bring the one into the other. There is always a conversational opening for Jesus. Not shoehorning him in like it's a bit weird, but just knowing that this is what it looks like for me to be a follower of Jesus. This is what, for me, well-being, the language of well-being. I commend it to you as a language where, you know, the five ways to well-being, connecting, learning, getting active, taking notice, giving. That's what the church does, right? And we're being told it's what is lacking in society out there. God is inviting us to connect with our culture as kingdom bringers in whole new ways. And the kingdom coming looks like simple habits and practices that we share. So I pray for you today, Welton Baptist Church, that you would know that you hold within you a gospel of peace and truth, and that you would be compassion bringers. I pray, Lord, that you would help this church to get a hold of what they believe, to know it and live it so well, that when they're listening to what is happening around them with their neighbours, on the telly, in the news, in the nation, that they would know the hope that is within them and know how to speak of it. May you bless them and keep them, make your face to shine on them and give them your peace, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Do stay in touch with us, and if I can help in any way, there's lots of resources that we can provide that help you think about well-being, your own well-being and the well-being of your neighbours and your communities. If it's a different language for you that you want to engage with, then just know that from this passage from Acts, I just think it's lovely to at least be reading and hearing things that are in the culture around you as well. So Paul obviously knew their poetry. Maybe it's time for you to pick up a book that's being written about mental health and well-being, or about what's happening at this time in our nation. I'm reading a book at the moment called Humankind, which is a bit of a humanistic book, but it talks about how kindness has always been there. Yeah, I think there is sin in the world, isn't there? But sometimes we're not looking for the image of God that we're seeing around us. So it's a very interesting book that is written by an author who's not at all a Christian. But I'm looking in it for the gospel of peace. So I just commend to you that practice of reading God's word in one hand, maybe the newspaper in the other, and seeing where the connections are, of looking for language that joins, of looking for opportunities to talk about Jesus in a way that isn't weird, but is completely natural, because he is the way. So bless you, and I hope to see you all again one day, maybe in person. Take care.
Has God spoken to you today? If the answer is yes, or I think so, can I encourage you to talk to somebody about it? Pick up a phone, send an email, drive round and sit on somebody's doorstep. For now, a huge thanks to Ruth. We're so grateful to God for the connection with her, and I'm looking forward to seeing God's Spirit develop this more in months and hopefully years to come. If you've been watching and you're not yet a follower of Jesus and you've got questions, I would love to chat with you. Please do get in touch either by email or WhatsApp. It would be great to speak together. Lastly, if you're new or you're newish to Welton, please do stick around just for another 10 minutes at the end. The welcome Zoom code will come up in the chat bar, and just click on that and it would be great to touch base with you. For now, have a great week and God bless.